welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about episode 100 because they also were just like, we're so bad at names. Let's just not do one today. I think we're allowed to take a break, right? That's in our contract. We can take a break. And I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's good?
What's going on?
Hello.
Oh, God. So last time we essentially got the day broke. Brooke went to jail and was arrested, and everyone just assumed that was chill. Were there any other big major things we oh, right, the Trevor marriage thing.
Yeah,
right?
Trevor.
Yeah,
Trevor and Margaret and their arrangement question mark.
Yeah,
Is this like a? It's not a lavender marriage. What would this be considered? What's a marriage where you only marry the other person so they can't testify against you in court? That's got to be.
It's not
type
a thing.
Marriage.
Yeah,
damn,
no, I mean it is,
right.
But like it can't be blackmail. You know, like it has to be like Better Call Saul. They do it because it's like I actually like you, and I wouldn't want to be compelled to testify against you. You know, not like hey, I don't like you. But you're doing this to force it, so I can't test. Like, that doesn't work. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So, like, I don't know if there is a name for this because it's not a thing that exists, and I think they just fucked up. That's my take on it, but who knows?
That's honestly so valid.
Oh, gosh. I hate this show.
Other
sometimes.
Than that, I guess we identified that if you are a ghost at the camp, you might be nasty. It might make you nasty and you might like to do a murder, like possibly.
And unless you got serial killed by Margaret and then you're boring, is that how it works? It's really unclear.
Yeah, it's 50-50 because like Xavier, well, I mean, I think most of the people who are there were serial killed by Margaret, so it's 50-50. The only other thing that I can think of that happened though that in the last part was I had almost forgotten about this. The Richard
Ramirez and
buddy
broke up.
Yeah, the buddy cop finale, which lasted all of one scene, because Richard Ramirez went to jail because he got set up Impractical Joker style by old Jingles, our old pal Jingles.
Frankly, it's kind of incredible how often this show like sets up one thing I'm kind of excited for or like looking forward to, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see how Jingles and Ramirez buddy up together, and then it just
no,
that's going back in the toilet. No, absolutely not. Yeah, you didn't want that. Oh, okay, I guess.
It feels like everything is just path of least resistance because, like, thinking about Richard Ramirez and Jingles working together is, like, a thing you'd have to, like, spend a little time writing and effort, you know, as opposed to just, like, stream of consciousness, throw in a quick twist every now and again, and then keep going, you know? But I digress.
Yeah, path of least resistance, yeah. I think, is, like, oddly enough, what I think most people listening to our podcast would assume that American Horror Story is, but I would argue that like sometimes, though that is the way that they
that's
mostly write, sometimes they're like, what if we made the path of most resistance?
That's
what
fair.
If we made our story contradict itself
no,
constantly?
That's valid. You're absolutely right, actually, yes.
There is no interim where the writing is just like normal and mediocre. It's either we did the hardest possible plot twist that we could come up with because we thought it would be neat, but instead it's just confusing. Or we did the thing that was so obvious it's kind of disgusting. Also, we think you, the audience, are so stupid you're not going to get it. So we're going to tell it, like, say what it is outright to your face. Lord. Yeah, I guess that's where we left off was the little guy who is the assistant to Margaret, because Margaret owns a I guess real estate company, but it seems like a really limited real estate company that mm-hmm. only buys haunted properties that are like famous.
Buying spooky houses, yeah.
Which seems like you'd run out like pretty quick, right? Unless you're just like selling them and then reselling them again after the people who bought them from you don't want them anymore.
Or sometimes they're, like, really famous, like, houses that you couldn't actually own because they'd be, like, national landmarks or things like that, you know? Or, yeah, but somehow she gets them, somehow, and made a business out of it.
Yeah, in fact, like, a plot point of the episode is, like, her being, like, mad that she doesn't have more of them to buy, and I'm like, well, you didn't, like, this business model was gonna be limited from, like, the beginning, because I think what they're hoping is that we, the audience, are like, oh, well, of course, no one wants to sell those properties, there's probably no market for them, because people are gonna be scared, and I'm like, no, there's a market for them, you don't have to be, like, a special real estate person, there's absolutely people who would buy the John Wayne Gacy house without even, like, hesitating. In fact, they probably seek it out. Like, there's a market for it, I promise. So the idea of there being, like, this quote-unquote real estate mogul who only sells houses like that, I'm like, she's probably competing with a few other people, if I had to guess, but
there's,
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, though, too, she does these things, like, she has these events, like, and we're gonna sell ice cream with, like, a clown and stuff, which I feel like would, like, run her afoul of, like, the local, you know, the town and the zoning committee. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people are just going to be like, oh, Margaret, you and your real estate, like, that's fucking up our neighborhoods and making everything, like, weird and all that, you know. But, you know, it's we're in wacky land anyway, so I guess who knows.
Yeah. The other thing is, like you were saying with, like, people not liking it, the show can't decide whether people are, like, super hype, like, hype as hell to go to these, like, murder locations, or if everyone hates them and thinks it's very distasteful that she's doing this. Because we will be told that she's very successful and that she's, like, made most of these properties into, like, amusement parks. But then later, people are going to be like, don't you think it's a little gross that you're doing this at this this place? And it's like, okay, well, which is it?
But that's, like, what's wild, too, is, like, people from all walks of life apparently are pro-serial killer because they're either, like, buying, like, these real estate, like, hell yeah, or they're, like, dressing up like Mr. Jingles and being like, I'm going to that camp and pretending to kill people, pranked, you know, or whatever. But
real anthology of the killer behavior. Just everyone's, like, super into serial killers walking around. It's fine. I'm a murderer. Don't worry. It's chill.
Yeah, we like this, actually. You too. This is good.
We should form a club, you know? Yeah, we'll meet up. Like, right before
the two of us raising hammers at each other. Oh, okay, same hat. All right, we're chill.
That's so funny.
I thought I saw you online once. Yeah, I recognize this outfit.
Oh, I love your work! Yeah.
But no one knows Richard Ramirez, the real life one, anyway. So
the other weird part about this is, like, I guess they're hoping that we yada yada, that, like, it's weird because the timeline they've set up of, like, Richard Ramirez, like, falling in love with Montana and then trying to kill Brooke and failing and then, like, going on the road with Mr. Jingles, because they have set that up as, like, the framework, at some point between when he met up with Montana, which would have been before he was an active serial killer based on real life timeline, they're just, I guess, assuming we assume that all of the murders that he did, parentheses, real, like, in real life, we're ones that he did with Mr. Jingles, which means that they are, like, inserting an OC into real murders that happened in real life, which is kind of weird. It's a little weird to be like, yeah, your family member who was murdered at the hands of Richard Ramirez, well, he was being provoked by Satan, who he had a deal with, and was also traveling with a friend who was never caught and not arrested. And hope you didn't want closure.
It's also weird this is not their first rodeo with that either, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, yeah, well, we've taken other real-life events and everything. Like, this is the longest they've stuck with, like, one, where they're like, we're just rewriting Richard Ramirez's life now, you know? But, like, before, it's like, oh, here's a real-life massacre that we, you know, came up with for the backstory of our robot, and, you know, in Apocalypse and all that, but...
Oh, yeah! I forgot about that. Yeah, there was that, and I was trying to think of, like, if there has been one. The only other one I can think of that went longer was the super racist white lady in Coven. The one they, like, revive or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you're right,
right.
I forgot about that.
And they somehow kept her alive for the whole season.
Didn't she have a daughter named, like, Belda?
Borkina. Frickin' Borkina.
Borkina, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Borkina sounds like Borkina the name Chinana. Of, like... Yeah, it sounds like the name of, like, a Trader Joe's version of, like, a baked enchilada casserole that you'd find in the freezer section.
I was thinking it was, like a Taco Bell, like, latest thing with, like, ooh. Okay, we added cinnamon on it. The Borkina. You know what I mean?
Like,
like a burger taco with, like,
yes!
And mustard in it? Yeah.
Right, right. Like a slider, though, so it's a little small, the Borkina. Yes, ooh. Exactly.
I think we're cooking. Don't let Taco Bell hear
Bell
this.
Taco Bell Corporation, hit us up.
Make sure you run us our royalties check.
And thank you for finding the source of the diarrhea, also.
Yeah. Also being the source a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You can trust Taco Bell more than USDA or anything, but anyway.
Yeah. Good tracking protocols.
Yes.
So somehow Brooke on death row.
Right.
If you insist.
And so like it's like, yeah, they're doing the thing they do in movies where they get a death row inmate and they announce to the death row inmate, but really for the audience's benefit, like, Sam Quentin, last stop before death. And it's like, yeah, but she would know that. You would have told her that before she got there, you know. And then like there's all guys, you know, prisoners hooting and hollering. And then Richard Ramirez is there. How about that? How lucky is that, you know?
A happy and then accident.
Like, yeah. And she's like, oh, by the way, I killed your little pal Montana, and she's in hell licking Satan's balls. And then he's like, she should be so lucky.
Yeah, I wish
she
that was me.
She should be so lucky. Like, God, how pathetic.
I wish that was me. I wish I was licking Satan's balls. Okay, balls. Richard Ramirez. Very cool.
But, like, back at camp... and then, like, Montana and Xavier are, like, looting the people they killed, which I don't think we've ever dealt with in American Horror Story where ghosts are like, yeah, I'll just take that, yoink, you know, from, like, living people.
I think the only one I can think of off the top of my head that, like, sticks out as being any level of remarkable was, like, Hayden in season one. She, like, mentions people's, like, stealing people's clothes or something.
Okay.
But, like, it's nothing. Like, it's not a plot point or anything. I think she just says it in passing.
The other thing I'm thinking is we've had confirmations that ghosts can get on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And now ghosts can, like, loot things and interact with items. So, like, you're telling me I could just put up a Craigslist post, like, buying a PS5 Pro, and I just need to, like, convince him to come to me, and then I can just be a ghost, kill a guy with a PS5 Pro, and then, like, I'm set? And I'm good? Then I just have one? This seems like it would be chill. I ghost life seems easy as hell.
Right?
I don't see what everyone's problem is. Everyone's making a big deal out of it. Oh, I can't leave a fucking whole campground. Like, grow up! The settlers lived in their entire life in an area smaller than that camp. Fucking relax.
In this universe, death is basically, I can't save up enough to move out of my apartment, but, like, forever, you know? Like, that's death here.
Yeah, also, it's, like, it's what, 1985? Well, we time skipped, and now it's 1989, but it was the 80s. They've been there for, like, several years in the 80s. It's the 80s. You don't have anything exciting to go do anyway. Being at this campsite is probably the most exciting thing you're ever gonna do, so you might as well... like, not take it for granted. I love Ghost Rules. Also, they're going to do a thing. This is not the only show that does this. It's another one of my pet peeves when it comes to TV shows and movies, but it's one of those things that, like, sometimes you have to because otherwise the movie would be bad and it would be really long and boring. And that's that they act like death row is, like, you get moved there, like, 72 hours before you die, which is not how it works. The people on death row usually spend decades.
Years.
On death row,
yeah.
Like, a long time. They serve a lot of sentence. Because usually there's a lot of appeals, et cetera, et cetera. Although they say, like, oh, Brooke lost all of her appeals. And I'm like, I don't think that's true either, but whatever.
You're not allowed to just, like, speed run the legal system if you're pretty sure. That's not how that works. You don't just get to be like, can we just skip it? Can we just wrap it up? What if I ask the jury, like, come on, and they all go, yeah, can we just scoot?
We have, like, a lunch to get to. Can we just hurry this up? Yeah, because, like, I think that they really want, like, because the thing is, the only way that would happen, the only way that, like, all of your appeals, TM, would be, like, shut down over before your trial was even done, would be, like, if there was irrefutable evidence that you had done it. And to that I say, the only evidence, quote unquote, that Brooke did anything was one lady being like, she did it. It was her. You trust me. It was her. Brooke must have had the most dog ass public defender, because all the public defender would have needed to do would have been to look at the jury and been like, gesturing at Brooke, who weighs like 98 pounds, and then like show them photos of like the Ewok traps and the Punji pits and also the lady whose head got impaled on an oar, and be like, what do you think about this? Could she do this? And then the jury would probably be like, you know what? No, probably not. We should maybe look into who did this, actually.
The state will show that the defendant overpowered and killed an Olympic athlete who was on steroids, by the way.
They say 11 people, and when they said that, I was like, there's no fucking way that's right. There's no fucking way she got charged with 11 murders. Who would that even include? And so I had to literally go through the list in my head of all the people who allegedly would be, like, pinned on Brooke. One of them is a fully grown man. A few of them are fully grown men, but, like, one of them is Blake, or whatever the fuck his name was, the big porn guy. Whose head was impaled on a metal spike, which, like, listen, like, I'm, like,
through
maybe,
the back of his skull.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty, I'm not, like, super strong. I don't, like, lift weights or anything, but, like, I'm pretty strong. I'm, like, kind of athletic. I'm pretty strong. Martial art. I don't think I could impale someone's head through a metal spike. I don't think that's within my wheelhouse. I don't think I could do that. And I weigh a lot more than Brooke does.
Yeah. Honestly, it's even kind of iffy that Mr. Jingles can, because, like, no matter how strong you are, it's like you have to impale a round thing on a spiky thing, both of what, you know what I mean? Like, you need to really get that accurate.
And line up the shot.
Now, maybe if he, like, dropkicked
I'm, like,
him.
Big powerlifting guy. I think I would need to get, like, incredibly lucky, and then it would get halfway in, and then he'd fall over, and I'd be like, damn, I was hoping to get nailed to the wall. That didn't work out at all.
We technically...
There's a lot of brain and skull in there, and it's very thick.
Like, we didn't see how Blake died. We only saw, like, the aftermath of, like, he's looking through the peephole, and then suddenly he's got, like, a spike impaled through his head. In my mind, I was like, it'd be really funny if he, like, drop-kicked him, and, like, he got impaled on the spike, but I'm like, that's not what happened. We're actually thinking about it backwards, and even... because the real, like, actual thing that happened would require even more strength than pushing someone's head onto a spike, which is that Mr. Jingles put a spike through the back of his head and pinned him to the wall.
Yeah.
So, like, the little object that he had to put through Blake or whatever his name was. Not because, like, you could probably kick somebody really hard in the back of the head and get enough
force. And
worse.
Has to have it, like, not deflect, and also has to personally resist the instrument on the other side with more force than it takes
and
to go
dark.
Through a human skull.
It's dark and hard
and
to
it's
see.
Dark.
Yeah.
And it's wet. It was, like, slippery out.
Because it had rained, yeah.
I hate to do a mild spoiler here, but Danganronpa V3 even covers this, where somebody gets like something impaled, and they're like that's so unlikely though, and, like, you know, like, the fucking anime murder games, like, you can't just do that.
Kill,
like,
that man with baseballs. Kill that man with baseballs for it. Yeah. So yeah. Apparently Brooke had such irrefutable evidence against her that she lost all of her appeals in the course of a 2-year trial, which I didn't even think they let you appeal while you were still in the trial process. I thought appeals were like you were appealing a decision that had been made, not one that hadn't been made yet. I guess they're going for reconsider, but as a court case.
Is the thought of the jury that, like, this little lady got attacked by a serial killer and fended him off, but unfortunately, like, he landed a bite on her, so now she became a serial killer, too? Like, what the fuck?
And, you know, we said it last time, but also beat the serial killer who escaped the asylum in the general area to the punch and killed all 11 people before he got the chance to.
The guy that they know is loose, the guy that they are 100% aware is loose, and one of the victims is specifically the lady who was looking for him. Brooke. Yeah. God, if I was Jingles, I'd be fucking pissed. I went to go get revenge on, like, my bullies or whatever, I don't really know. I guess technically it's kind of odd. You'd think that, like, because Jingles agreed to go to the camp because he wanted to kill Margaret. Why did he kill anybody else?
Also, did he know that, I guess it was because he thought he needed to finish killing those kids, which is even more confusing because, like, he didn't. And even if he was tricked into believing that, why would he be tricked into thinking that, like, finish the fight, Master Chief? Like, why would he think that's appropriate?
Oh my god. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my little spiel about how, because this will be the rest of the episode, like, them talking about the death row process and her being on death row is like the remainder of the episode pretty much. And I just hate it because they're also, remember, Richard Ramirez is already on death row, so, like, they caught him and were like, you don't even get a trial, you're just going straight to death row, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you're getting there immediately, and the girl who got arrested 4 years before you did will join you later at a later date. That's how this works. Also, to just in case anybody's curious and doesn't want this on their search history to Google it, Richard Ramirez did not die on death row. Like, he did not get executed, in case you're wondering, like, oh, well, are they going to be executed at the same time? No, Richard Ramirez never got executed. He died of, like, regular sick person disease. Well, he was on death row, but, like, he never got executed. Because, like I said, usually you spend a lot of time on death row. You don't just, like, stay a week.
I have not seen any episodes beyond this one, but I think we're going to find American Horror Story has a different memory of events.
He didn't actually end up dying on death row, and also was there for like 20 additional years or more after this takes place. But the show would like you to believe that he got put in there like the day he got arrested, and that put him in there before Brooke, who got arrested 4 years prior, somehow. But yeah, that's where we pick up, is guess who's at death row? It's Brooke. And they're, like, weirdly... That's the other thing, is, like, they're weirdly mean to Brooke. Like, everyone treats Brooke, like, not only do they all think she's guilty, but, like, every person's like, okay, nasty, you're here and you're gonna die and I hate you. And I'm like,
There's definitely a vibe of, like, yeah, we're all serial killers, but at least we're men. A really fucking weird vibe to bring to a place.
Oh my god. Yeah. Going back to camp, like Slobeef said, Montana and Xavier are looting ghosts, and then Ray is like, what the fuck? Why are you killing people still? What the fuck is that about? And Xavier's like, I'm nasty now. I'm a ghost, so I'm nasty now. Because, like, I tried to be nice in real life, and it didn't work. And being bad feels good. And I'm like, that's such a cop-out. They say the same thing at the end of season one, where they're like, yeah, we're ghosts who love murder now because it feels good. And I'm like, really, really weird, like, moral question mark to like have in your story of like, yeah, if you know that there's no consequences for killing people, everybody would do it. Like a really weird yeah, implication. Yeah.
Yeah. Concerning concerns me, you know, not you're not necessarily the media you create, right? Like writers can create deeply fucked up shit and still be very nice people. That's right. Like so much media. That being said, someone who repeatedly subtexts that like if there wasn't a reason for them not to, they would definitely just be murdering and it would kick ass and get them hard. It concerns me a little.
Yeah.
It's not a great characteristic.
Every guy starts out as a nice guy until he gets killed by that one bitch and then, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, worrisome. And yeah, they just immediately start with the like, yeah, I've decided that killing is awesome. Like, I don't know, man. I hurt people on accident and I feel bad about it for weeks. I don't understand this whole like, I'm just going to murder somebody and feel great.
Xavier,
you know how long you'd feel bad?
Xavier was shown to be like the singular empathetic person of the group. Like when he realized that people were dying, he was like having a panic attack. Like, oh my God, this is my fault. Oh my God, I feel so bad. Like, I'm not leaving anybody behind. I won't be, like, responsible for anybody dying. Like, he was the only person who had, like, a semblance of a conscience. And now they're like, but if he was given the opportunity, he would do murders because he thinks it kicks ass. And I'm like, I don't think he would. Personally, even Montana's like
crying as he stabbed Birdie.
Yes.
Like he thought he wasn't supposed to be doing it, even after he convinced himself he was supposed to be. He was so bad at killing Birdie. You all saw that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? I'm not crazy. Right.
He said, I tried. Right. That's the other thing is when he's giving his little speech, he's like, I tried to save Birdie. And I'm like, citation fucking needed. Because, she was like, here's a knife, and said nothing. And you were like, I guess this means I have to stab you now. Like, you didn't really try anything. You were just like, well, she seems to want to be stabbed. She didn't, like, say that verbally, but, like, I'm pretty sure that's what she wants. I'm pretty sure she wants to be stabbed again a fifth time.
Little did Birdie know she was going to create... Actually, why isn't Birdie here to, like, talk about it now that we're saying it?
Real.
Yeah, like, why not just say, no, you didn't. Here, I asked you to do that.
She died when she still had a concussion, so she's permanently got a concussion. So she's just off in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
I hate to be permanently concussed. I mean, technically, like, I'm not, like, that's a joke, but, like, that kind of is what happened to Jonah. Like, he got hit by a car. Now he can't remember anything, so...
fucking
no,
show.
No, he got Bonkus of the Kronkus as a ghost. It's over.
My poor boy Jonah. He doesn't deserve this. He's a little stupid because he got hit by a car.
Did anyone get killed when they were like high? Like, you know, like just too much weed or something, and then it's like I'm permanently fucked up, but yeah, not too bad.
Oh, man. Most of these guys were on cocaine when they died. So imagine being a ghost that's on cocaine for, like, forever. Like, I don't know if that would
talking.
Kick... Yeah, would that suck or would that kick ass? I can't decide. I guess I'd get bored faster, probably, but that's the ADHD talking.
I need to find another living person to share all my cool business ideas with.
I'm going to teach myself a new card game. Anyway, Montana is like, yo, here's a newspaper that these two bird watchers brought with them, ? It says Brooke's going to be executed. And then Ray's like, well, that's fucked up. She shouldn't be executed. Like, that's not real. And then Dustin, remember Dustin, the guy who got fucking murdered by Montana because he had a boner? His girlfriend, who he mentions one time before dying, is like, hey, do you know where my boyfriend Dustin is? And Ray's like, don't care. Have you seen this lady in this newspaper? She's going to get executed. And that's shitty. You should stop it. And then, like, as he's saying this, Xavier kills her. And I'm like, best case scenario, Ray. You tell this random woman who's looking for her now missing boyfriend Stop looking for your missing boyfriend. I need you to go to the police and tell them that this lady who is like turbo convicted of like 11 murders, that a guy at the camp that she killed people at said that she definitely didn't do it and said, trust me, bro. I'd like you to tell a police officer that. I think they'll take you quite seriously if you do that for me. Like, I genuinely don't know what Ray thought would happen. Probably not her getting killed, but like otherwise,
right?
What did you expect to happen? Because like best case scenario, she's like, okay, I'll do it after I find my boyfriend. There's no universe where she's like, you're right, I'm gonna stop looking for my boyfriend and I'm gonna go leave and tell the police this insane thing this stranger just told me. And also he could not explain why he couldn't just go to the police and tell the police what happened. Needed me to do it.
But that's, you know, you're not saying this, though, and I kind of want to see it happen, right? I kind of want to see the arc where he's like, I have to convince her there's life after death. I'm stuck in it. Her boyfriend died, but she could at least save Brooke, you know? But
you have to trust me. I'm the ghost who had sex with her. I took her virginity. You have to believe me. I'm definitely not a weirdo.
I think you would just have to be like, okay, I need you to tie me up in your back seat and drive out of here. And then, like, when they look back and you've teleported out and you're just standing at the entrance, then would you be convinced at that point? Or would you just think, like, ah, God damn it, David Blaine's trying to get me again?
I mean, like, I guess, like, it would depend on the context, but primarily I would be thinking, I'm not putting this man in the back of my car. Where is my missing boyfriend?
You know, I thought about it again, and I was like, yeah, I wouldn't trust this guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though, because she gets destroyed by Xavier, who, like, does a weird, like, fighting game combo tag-in with Montana, where, like, one of them is the distraction and the other one does the stabbing, which is interesting. And now it's time for Richard Ramirez gets more superpowers from Satan. The segment of the show that everybody was looking forward to, I'm sure.
Brooke, I'm speaking directly to your brain. He's like, I need you to. Do you think Satan's cool yet?
He's like a Jedi, where it's just like every new like scene he's in, like, oh, I can do this now too, you know? Where it,
God, yeah, he can he can use telepathy, which like when they explained how he saw Rita's like fake Rita's like backstory. Like flashback, he's like, Satan told me it, and I'm like, okay, whatever, like Satan gives you info. This is different. This is an active ability that like you can do, which is an insane thing to imply that Satan can do for you. Like, just give a guy superpowers.
A thing to imply that the real serial killer and human being Richard Ramirez did. Yeah.
Right?
Well, they made Charles Manson a ghost. They made Charles Manson a force ghost, you know, that could, like, project himself while he was still alive, so.
But they had plausible deniability, right? Because we could at least have said maybe Kai is imagining that and we don't know, right?
Oh, true, yeah.
But, like, this is the most obscene thing they've done, where, like, a real-life serial killer who killed a lot of people and was, an odious fucking people, even among serial killers, yeah, he's got telepathy, he can resurrect himself, like, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But
he's got cool hair, we gave him cool hair and a cool jacket.
Women want to bang him, like
a lot
few
of women?
Them.
Like a lot of women.
And then also they still left the ending where like a little Spanish grandma yells the killer and then just the hood beats his ass.
Yeah.
Like,
and while we're here, he's a defeat. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's just a defeat.
Also, by the way, he likes toes.
Yeah, fuck it. Oh my God.
Yeah, when you really lay it out like that, it's really crazy. But
yeah, his little monologue.
Yeah.
You know what really fucking suck? God, it would suck to be Brooke. Because imagine that, like, you get attacked by this guy twice. He fails twice. You whoop his ass twice. His girlfriend attacks you. You kill her. Then you get sent to prison for it, and like you're like, well, at least I get to fucking die soon, so I don't have to listen to this guy anymore. And then he finds a way to talk to you in your brain that you can't stop him from doing. That would fucking suck.
This guy is such a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
Going out to the warden and being like, check, please. Can we hurry this up?
Yeah. Can we expedite this? I don't need like a last meal or anything. Just let me go ahead and get in there. Are you free this afternoon?
Yeah, just give me like a tub of Cool Whip and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, I'll call it even. Do you have like a payday bar in your pocket, maybe? Like, that'll work. It's fine.
eating half a Snickers that the warden saved for later is my last meal because I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Because I hate Richard Ramirez so fucking much. Yeah. Oh yeah. My god. He gives like a really fucking stupid speech where he's like, If I got to pick how I get executed, I'd pick the electric chair because you get lightning in your blood or whatever. And I'm like, well, that sucks for you because only Florida, Tennessee, and Utah had that as an option. Choosing your own method of execution, I mean. Also, they weren't doing like the electric chair at San Quentin. They don't do any of the things that he say they do at San Quentin actually. And... He goes on a speech about, like, Brooke, I'm sorry that you can't stop me from talking in your brain, but, like, I'm going to tell you all about the lethal injection process, which, by the way, isn't how they kill people at San Quentin in this point in time, but we're going to pretend that it is for the dumb fuck-ass scene that's going to follow this one.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, it hurts so bad. Like, the first one makes you paralyzed, and then the second one is an anesthetic, and then the third one hurts really bad. And I'm like, then what was the point of the anesthetic? Because that's kind of like the one thing an anesthetic's supposed to do.
Yeah, because, like, he says, like, you know, the paralytic is so that they don't have to see you writhing in agony and they don't have to deal with what they're doing to you. But that's the paralytic. Yeah, anesthetic is, like, explicitly just it makes you lose sense, right?
Right.
Like, that's...
and he's like... So how about after you die, you he's like doing an MLM like recruitment speech for Satan, like it's Avon.
You know what else he's like? And that third shot's the most painful. I was like, what are you talking about? No one would ever know that if that were true, you know, like that.
Satan told him.
Actually, yeah, man. Good point. Not a great sample to select from for asking afterwards. How was that for you?
Did you hate that? Did you like it? Was it good? Like,
did being unconscious and having your nerves shut down affect your pain level in the way that it absolutely should not? Oh, I can't ask you. Whoops.
Oh crap, right, the test subject died. Fuck, well, I guess that part works.
We got one of these placebo motherfuckers around so we can make sure. Oh.
Getting a placebo lethal injection. Sorry, man, you were just the test. Yeah, no, you didn't die. Yeah, it was all water.
Like, which probably also wasn't good that we injected you with it, but like, we don't know what's gonna happen.
And then, like, he wakes up, so am I free? And they're like, no, he's in the electric chair. Like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so yeah. She's like, do you want to get revived by Satan when you die? And she's like, no. And he's like, aw, shucks. And the whole time this conversation's happening.
She explicitly says, she goes, fuck off, which it... I hate when they do the thing where they cut away from a character who is very, like, meek and mousy, like, as their whole demeanor, and then they cut back, and now they're hard. And it's like, well, you could have shown me any of that time skip, because right now all I see is that, like, I don't know, Brooke got unpleasant, I guess.
I mean, if I had to talk to Richard Ramirez, I'd probably be... pretty pissed also. Like, this is the only person,
sure.
The only person I would give her a pass to being this rude to.
She's not a very fuck off character though, right? Like, to me at least.
No.
Right.
Well, neither are the ghosts at the camp aren't very murdery either, but we've decided that time changes all for every person ever, I guess.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
It's so sad and beautiful. My poor boy Xavier was so gentle, and now he is so nasty. The whole conversation that they're having, there is the chanting that I think they think is cool of Satan. Satan.
So bad.
And it's so loud when he's like, oh, but you, it's going to be cool if you accept Satan or whatever. And she's like, no. It like pans to him and he starts like shaking out of anger. And then like it goes, Satan. Like it keeps getting louder. And I'm like, I cannot tell if this is a bit. I can't tell if this is like campy and funny or if this is like they think this is cool. I can't decide which one it is.
But if you did like a sport season where there was like sports and Satan, then you could do like, let's go Satan. And that would be awesome. That would fucking rock.
You know what's funny though is it. Brooke kind of made the wrong choice here because she's like, in the one way you might be like, well, she's rejecting Satan, but two things here. One, spoilers, she's going to survive her execution this episode, so she's got a free one-up, like, banked if she had said yes. Two, you don't seem to, like, owe Satan anything if you take the deal. You know, like, Jingles seems fine with everything that we're going to find, you know? So it's, like, just odd that, or it's not odd, it's just sort of like, I would get it if there were, like, stakes to, you know, selling your soul to Satan for a free resurrection, but it just appears there aren't at all. So, big miss on Brooke's part. Oh, well.
Yeah. You never really know. When you sign up for the Satan MLM, you never really know whether it's going to, like, ruin your life or whether it's going to, like, kick ass. I guess it depends on how much effort you put into it.
It's like signing up for a mailing list. Like, even if it's harmless, you're probably better off not doing it just in case. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, regrettably, that is our government mandated in, like, full conversation with Richard Ramirez for now. It is not the last time we will see him this episode, regrettably, but it is the last time we're seeing him now. Now it's time to remind everybody that it's the 80s again, because I think everybody forgot that it's the 80s again.
It's the 80s, yeah. Margaret can't use computer. Computer too new. It's old type of computer. Also, there's a printout. Yippee. Apparently, the sales are good in her spooky real estate company where she buys haunted houses and then... she buys houses that no one would buy and then sells them. To who? Aquaman? Regardless. Somehow this is a successful business. But also she like makes theme parks out of them actually, which is really confusing.
They have this weird thing where they, like many professions that they've had a character have in American Horror Story, they have this strange thing where they've conflated like people who sell real estate and people who buy real estate and repurpose it for like something like an amusement park, for example. Like those are usually two different things in the same way like a dentist and like a chiropractor are different things.
You know what? Wait a minute. Why doesn't Margaret own Murder House? Oh, it hasn't happened yet. No,
it hasn't. It would be considered still a murder house because of the like the guy in the basement who did like the abortions or whatever.
Right. Yeah, doing the ether. I remember. Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't. I'm really, really surprised they didn't try to tie that in somehow at that point. Well,
good news. We have season 13 coming up, which is where they're apparently mishmashing everything. So there's still a chance.
I think I
Oh, we're doing another one.
Yeah, another coven, like literally.
It's season 13. It's called 13.
This could be bullshit, and it could have been like a bit, because I didn't look into it too much. It could have just been a joke. But I saw somewhere online that like they had confirmed, quote unquote, like Brian, like Fulcheck and Murphy had like confirmed that Evan Peters was playing five characters in season 13. Or something to that effect. And I'm like, yeah, I believe you that you would do that. I think it's going to be bad and stupid. And I definitely have a few of them that he's played that I wish weren't going to be in this season. Surely you're not going to bring Tate back because, like, Evan Peters is, like, 25 years older than he was when he played Tate Langdon.
He's going to be James Patrick March, and Jessica Lange is going to be Constance Langdon, Sister Jude Martin, Fiona Good, and Elsa Mars.
Great.
So great. Yeah.
I mean, out of everybody, I guess I'd like to see more Jessica Lang.
What if old Tate had to, like, do a brave sacrifice where, like, he had to go through the... He had to go through the ghost destroyer to shut off the atom bomb at the end of the tunnel or whatever.
That's why we don't see him.
Would you like him then? Yeah.
We certainly can't have Tate and Kyle in the same season because they are just the same person. So that would be too confusing.
Wait, says who? But like they don't care. They brand like we need Sarah Paulson to play the real estate agent, you know, that loved character or the psychic. Excuse me, from season one all the way back in fucking Hotel when she's already playing another character for one God damn, I hate this show.
And also we need Sarah Paulson to play twins, conjoined twins.
Oh yeah, right.
this show's so cool.
They're talking about what she has set up, what Margaret has set up with these properties, and is doing things like converting them into an Airbnb, or just a regular B&B. They hadn't invented Air yet. Into a regular B&B. Except, like, it's a high-end B&B in a cozy location, except then they have actors come in and wake you up with fucking axes, apparently. Like, they do, like, a Batsu game thing. I don't understand why anyone would pay for this. Like, this is bad for you. I like being scared as much as the next guy, for sure. It's a little exciting. It could be a fun time getting a little scared to Safeway. But I gotta fucking sleep, dog. If I'm going on a vacation, my ass has to sleep.
Especially a high-end one where it's like, I didn't pay, like, you know, $200 a night, I guess, in the 80s, you know, to, like, get woken up in the middle of the night for this shit. God, but that's how Margaret made her millions, apparently.
Yeah, in case anybody might be, like, listening to this going, like, oh, well, that sounds like something they might do in real life. No, not really. Like, no. I think she mentions also, like, the Stanley Hotel, and I'm like, I mean, a lot of people go and stay at the Stanley Hotel because of The Shining. But they don't have, like, people walking around, like, jingling, like, chains in the middle of the night to make you think that, like, a ghost is there. It's just a hotel. Like,
the blood doesn't come out of the elevator because it would ruin your fucking clothes and you'd get mad. You know, like, nobody wants that immersive an experience, but whatever. And then she's like, faux skin shades for the Gian farm, but that fell through, like, which, come on, Margaret, you know, but, actually, that one sounds at least more reasonable now that I think about it, but then the
most confusing part is then the assistant says, I think we should sell now. We've made enough money, but, like, are you managing real estate or are you doing theme parks? Because these are two different endeavors, and the idea of, like, buying something up, setting up half of a theme park and then selling it, like, I'm gonna be real, I don't think you're making your money back on that. That seems like you're gonna lose a shitload of money if you set up Murder Town or whatever. Like, people aren't gonna be like, oh yeah, I'll buy that off you with interest.
Yeah. I think what they want us to genuinely believe is, like, she's buying them and then she's, like, making them into these attractions and then she's managing the attractions, and I'm like, that's not what a real estate person does. Like, at that point, you're just a person who buys real estate and makes amusement parks. You're not a real estate person. You're a person who buys, like, places and makes them into destinations. Like, that's a different job.
You have become spooky Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Which,
Knott's Berry Farm, not but awesome. Evil. Dollywood, but rude, yeah.
Ah, that's me yelling because my butt's too big to fit on the ride and they're killing me.
Because I'm a ghost at Chick's Notes, the Lizzie Borden Airbnb. Yeah.
Lizzie Borden Knott's Berry Farm Retreat. That's right. So after that, they have a headline of, oh no, there's more murders at Camp Redwood. And the assistant Courtney's like, oh yeah, we might have lawsuits. about people getting killed on our property, which not how that works. Not how that mm-hmm. works. If you kill somebody on like an empty lot, it doesn't become the problem of who owns that. Like, they'll probably be involved, right? They'll probably sure. like want to know what's going on, but like they're not liable, right? Like no. I can't like drive over to Slobeef's house, like commit a murder in his living room and be like, Slobeef did this.
We're all looking for the guy who did this. It's Slobeef. He lives here. Yeah, like I don't even think that it could be like an issue of, because I thought, I'm like, what do they think this means as writers? And like the only thing I can think of is like, oh, because like people come to the camp and they like snoop around and then they get murdered there, and I'm like, that's still not something you'd be liable for.
You could do a thing where if you said like nothing in the waiver covers like something that like was negligent on your part, right? Like if you let people swim in your lake and there were chemicals in it that you could have stopped, or you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Sure. But if you straight up get killed by some random person who's like not an employee or anything like that, you know what I mean? Then no, of course you're not on the, like, you can't do anything about that, right? Like there's only so much like a waiver can cover, but still, this has nothing to do with it. So yeah.
Also, these were people who were trespassing, technically. Like, I'm pretty sure they weren't supposed to be on that property. My thing is also, you might not be liable, but I would think that somebody would have notified you since you own the camp. That somebody would have been like, "Hey, before they print this in the newspaper, I think you should know a dude was super killed at your camp like 24 hours ago."
Because the police are probably going to, like, contact you, too, just to be like, hey, listen, you know, we're trying to investigate this murder that happened on your property, you know, so we have some questions for you, at least about the layout or something. You're, like, you're not going to find out from the fucking newspaper.
Also, Margaret's like, this is good news, and, no, it's not. There's going to be an open investigation of the place you did so many crimes, and if they find, like, this is the one thing Margaret should actively be like, oh no, because like if they just take her word for it and like never look at anything about the camp, she's Gucci, baby. She killed like 15 people and she's getting fucking away with it.
Yeah,
but instead, she's like, yippee, the one thing that could possibly be my undoing.
Also, not only that, in case you're thinking like, oh, well, she doesn't know that, like, the ghosts that are there could just tell anybody who was there, like, that she had done it. Yeah, she does, because she met Jonah, and she, like, identified that Jonah was a ghost. So, like, she knows that the ghosts of the people who die there are, like, around. And I would assume, because they hate her, would probably be like, yeah, no, Margaret did it. Like, they don't get anything from Brooke going to prison. So, like, you'd think at least one of them would be like, yeah, it's her. It's Margaret. She did it. Because, like, she can't do anything to a ghost, so she can't, like, stop them.
Actually, you're right.
They can just be like, here's this evidence here, here's this evidence here. Yeah, we've just been hanging out here for like a decade, so we've put a full file together for you. If you'd like, we have nothing else going on.
Who's ready for some Mr. Jingles character development?
If we have to, but
Anna, thanks, I ate before I came. So Mr. Jingles lives in Alaska. In like a little fishing village ? On like the coast.
He retired like Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a hot wife and a baby. His wife, I was going to say his baby's name is Lorraine. His wife's name is Lorraine. They give the kid a name. I think it's his name. I think it's just like Donald Jr. or some shit. That's his name, by the way. His name is Donald. Or at least his fake name is. And Mr. Jingles is like, wow, I'm eating breakfast with my hot wife and my son. I sure don't deserve this because I'm a serial killer, I say out loud in front of my wife. And his wife says the rational thing. You know what's worse than a serial killer?
She goes, it's okay. We've all made mistakes. Sure, you murdered allegedly between 11 and now you're starting to believe only like two or three people. And then you hung out with Richard Ramirez, one of the worst people to ever grace this earth. But I
did more killings.
I was a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did more killings, but I was a sex worker. So
and that's worse.
That's about even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like so crazy. Like, holy shit. Do you just not want anyone to like have sex? I guess.
Yeah.
Like, see, this is more people need to have Rob Zombie's like thought process when making a movie of like, not only are sex workers cool as hell, I want to cast my wife as one in most of these movies because my wife is smoking hot and I think it kicks ass that my wife is smoking hot and she's cool with playing a sex worker. So she's going to just be that as much as possible. No, not these guys. They're like, serial killing and being a prostitute are roughly the same thing, I think. I think they both deserve the same.
It's very all sin is equal. Yeah. Any sin keeps you out of heaven. Yeah. And it's like, okay, but like, there are some things that we agree are worse than others, you know?
Yeah. And like, based on this timeline, like, the fact that she knows he's Mr. Jingles and like how much time we know has elapsed, that means that like he was still probably right at the tail end of actively killing people when he quote unquote saved her, because not only like did they have to like find each other, fall in love, get married, but then also another 9 months had to 9 months plus change had to happen for her to have a baby. So like he was definitely probably on like the barrel was still warm on him killing people. I think it wasn't like, yeah, like 10 years ago I killed a bunch of people. It was like, yeah, like 2 weeks ago I killed a bunch of people with that serial killer who just got arrested or whatever. Also on top of that, I am still very much so wanted by the police and also like the asylum I broke out from. So it's a little weird that like no one has noticed who I am because I'm like the most famous serial killer apparently in the entire country. I have like photorealistic masks made of me and people do a holiday about me once a year. Nobody knows what I look like. I definitely look a very distinct way, but somehow nobody has identified me as being that guy who was missing after all those murders happened. Yeah. And he goes by Donald, which I'm not sure if that's meant to be his real name or just like his fake name. But they have him working at, not Blockbuster, not Buster.
Mm-hmm. Video Shack, but when we see it, it's when we're gonna see it later, it's exactly Blockbuster, like,
yeah,
to the point where I'm surprised they didn't get a little like their legal team was like, this is real Blockbuster adjacent, sorry, you know, but they,
yeah, and they're gonna feel the need to Forrest Gump one more thing into Mr. Jingles that's so fucking funny with his job in Video Shack.
Oh, you mean we're gonna give our OC Mr. Jingles credit for coining the phrase "be kind, rewind"? Yeah,
that's right. What the fuck? Like, I incredible.
I just made this up.
Pretty catchy, huh?
No wonder he's up for a promotion.
Lemonade and tea. I just made this. It's mine. Oh, god damn.
Yep.
He's going to get a promotion because he invented Be Kind Rewind.
And then they have to do another, like, haha, we're writing about the 80s and we know things, because his manager is like, you're up for a promotion, you know? There's a lot of opportunities at VHS. Oh, I get it, because we know there aren't. Whatever. It's such... I hate this show. I hate that crap, but they won't stop fucking doing it. This is, like, the fourth or fifth time
also,
this episode.
Like, VHS pivoted into DVD pretty gracefully, yeah. All told. Like, most places stayed open for quite a... It wasn't like VHS, like, faded out and Family Video and Blockbuster and fucking Hollywood Video and all those places were like... Oh no, they've turned them from bulkier tapes into slightly easier to handle and hold in bulk discs.
It,
guess I'll die.
It wasn't the medium. It was really Netflix doing the whole, like, that whole mailing thing. And then Blockbuster being like, but I can't collect late fees. That's stupid. And refusing to adapt, you know? And then, yeah. And then, like, pivoting into online streaming and shit. It wasn't VHS's fault at all, really, you know? But...
It is truly kick-ass that there are now people who have never had to deal with the fucking annoyance of realizing it's like 10:15 p.m. or whatever, and you rented a game for two nights instead of three nights, and you forgot, so you have to fucking like ride out there to dump it in the little slot, or else you're gonna have to pay $7 or whatever. Oh, I can't believe Netflix took that shit out. It could have happened for any reason. But yeah, so they knew that. They have a big like, oh, see, he's succeeding and he's having a simple, happy life or whatever. Because it turns out he was just a regular man, just an innocent regular man this whole time. Except Margaret like told him, you like killing people. And he was like, yeah, I guess. And then killed some people. That is a moral failing, we agree, yes. It's, like, not okay to have someone just walk up and be like, you kill people, and be like, I kill people.
Yeah, I kill people, I guess. He's just so trusting. He's such a trusting boy. He didn't know any better.
Yeah, when he gets asked if he has any negative traits in a job interview, he's like, I'm just too trusting.
Yeah. I'm too truthful, too trusting, yeah.
I've killed a few people. Well, at least you didn't trade money for sex. You're hired, you know.
There's still a not insignificant amount of episode left. So where we will end off is to leave you with this to ruminate on, which is that Margaret has decided that the murder that happened there is good for business, actually, and is setting up a music festival, like big concert thing, called It's Your Turn to Die, which is an insane thing to do when someone died there 24 hours ago. It's not even like, oh, the camp is back in the news because of, like, it's the anniversary of when all those kids died twice. It's, no, a guy died there, like, a day ago. Like, yesterday.
By the way, profiting off someone's death like that, like, and holding an event, that can get you sued, probably.
Yeah. But, almost certainly. But, apparently, other people think that that's chill, because they've sold a lot of tickets. She's doing, like, a press conference, talking to all the press. And one of the reporters is like, hey, someone died here yesterday. Is it possible that the person who did that, like, might still be, like, around and people might be, like, in danger or anything like that? And she's like, no, they'll like it. It's good. They'll think it's cool. They'll think that it's exciting that they might get serial killed at the festival. And I'm like, weird thing to imply. There's a lot of social implications that I think American Horror Story maybe didn't quite think about, with the idea that, like, yeah, people like to wonder if they're going to die at a big major like concert or something. People like that. They think it's good.
Yeah. Everyone saw 9/11 and they're like, wish that was me.
Yeah. Wow, that looks exciting. Wish I had some excitement in my life.
Wow, nothing ever happens around here. Wish I was in the tower.
Yeah, and that's not the end of the episode. Like, what I just said is somehow not the end of the episode. Blessedly for us, I guess.
No.
Yeah. So next time, get ready to see if Mr. Jingles manages to keep one plot thread going for more than one scene in a row. Spoilers. No. No, absolutely not. Oh, till next time, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your evening.
Bye.